Welcome back, everybody. This is week four of Balance of Power, part three. We get a grand entrance onto the swamp planet, the fungus jungle planet of Felucia.
Well, wait, Adam. A grand entrance? Weren't we dressed like super casually? Did we just walk off in flip flops in Hawaii?
This is your moment. Now, if that's what Gunnar is dressed like, awesome. But
well, I'm asking the crew. Like, we're not.
Yeah. This is the slow-mo, like the thing has come down. There's like, you know, the jungle and everything, and you're all walking down the gangplank in slow motion looking cool. Or maybe you look like
a toy. Dressed in like a Tommy Bahama shirt. He's piping in like Jimmy Buffett.
You got a little pina colada in your hand. No. So I guess that's the question, right? Like, who comes out first? Like, I want to see when you're disembarking for your mission. What does that look like? Because there's no one around. You're out in the forbidden zone, and you have to find your way into the city and sneak in. So,
speaking of which, how far out are we? Do we have a good idea about where we are and how long it's going to take to get to where we need to be?
So maybe that's like, maybe we see you come out like looking at a map because you got your little holo display. Okay, so you're kind of like looking around.
The first thing I do is make sure there's not any threats.
So maybe you're not the first one off the ship.
Yeah, I'll lead and just kind of look outside very carefully, kind of look around corners, not just like run out to the bottom. Make sure there's nothing out there. It's a big deal.
Okay. All right. So, like dense jungle, and immediately like your fur gets like just soaked with the humidity that's in the air. There's all kinds of like strange, like bird creature noises, everywhere. The ship's like life scanner, was just going haywire. It was just like, there is life signs everywhere. And as you step out, you see, the ground is all covered in like vines and stuff, but you see these kind of like sharp indents that look like footprints or claw marks or something in the ground that like they go right across the path where you've landed.
Are you talking like big footprints or like, you know, like footprints?
Some of both. You could make a check to figure out how big the creature that leaves these footprints is, but it looks like one or more. Like there's like a path. Where these footprints go, and you've kind of landed in the midst of them.
Did we get the name of our contact here?
No, she just told you a time, and you're well within the time frame, a time and a place. She didn't tell you her name or anything.
Okay, and we have the coordinates. Like I have the coordinates like in my memory banks.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, so I have some kind of like tan baggy pants on. I guess like a merchant would just. Your baggy pants.
Yeah, it's known that if you want to sell and buy goods, you have to wear tan baggy pants. That's the rule.
Yeah, maybe there's like the cutoffs too or something lame like that. Then I'm also wearing.
Check that. I don't think that's right.
And then I'm also wearing a leather jacket and just like a white shirt underneath it. And I have my vibro sword. Tied to my body underneath it, or maybe I can just wear the strap for it, the harness for it.
You can hide it under like a poncho or something and then just like whip the poncho off if you need to get at your sword.
Okay, so then I have kind of like a waterproof poncho since we're going to this place that's densely packed with maybe Amazonian forest or something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. And I go up to the side of the ship and like look down, and I'm assuming that it's not just all vines below us because there's a path. So I just jump off to the path.
Yeah, there's no like human-made path. There looks like a like an animal path through here. So it's like kind of narrow and you can see it, but yeah, you've landed in an area of dense jungle. So okay. There's no like road back to the capital.
So I hop off down onto that.
Okay.
How far away are we?
From the capital?
From the contact point.
Oh,
we need to figure out direction.
Yeah, you'll have to orienteer yourselves here. So I guess what's the protocol for once you land? Like you want to secure the perimeter.
Yep.
We'll need to make some rolls. So who are you assigning? Talra, you're in charge. Who are you assigning to secure the perimeter?
Gunner. She's already on the ground. So if she's already kind of making motions, then go to it.
Okay. Gunner, what do you do to secure the landing area?
Is it all brush for like 50 feet, 100 feet? Where does the jungle start?
You basically have, you had to crush some plants to land the ship. So you have maybe like 5 feet around it from where the jets can like burn or push down some of the foliage in the area.
So, and the foliage is above my head?
Yeah. 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 There's jungle everywhere. If you, if you'd like, and I can't cause it's, we don't own the art, but this is a real planet in Star Wars. So if you just Google Felucia, you will find all kinds of pictures of what this weird planet looks like. It's yeah, it's all kinds of like foggy. Yeah, it was on an episode of Clone Wars, exactly. It's like foggy and there's like huge like orchid blossom kind of creature plants, a lot of like movement. The sky is kind of a grayish yellow. There's just this like oppressive heat everywhere. So as soon as you get out, like if you're wearing goggles, you have to like wipe them off or like take them off. And your equipment already, like hand scanners or comms, they're starting to like get condensation in them. So you'll have to keep an eye on that.
I turn to Kestrel.
Sergeant, should I fix the ship now or when we return?
I think it would be a good idea to get started on some repairs while Gunner checks the area.
Affirmative.
So I go back to the ship and start fixing what I broke.
Okay.
On that note, I kind of look around and then look at Kess and kind of go, is your droid going to be okay in this environment?
Zed, do you have any kind of enviro-proofing for this humidity?
I'll let you know if it becomes a problem, Sergeant.
Keep me posted. But we'll see.
So, I'm right beside the tracks.
Rusting.
Yeah, you notice them right away, for sure.
Okay, so I just get down on one knee, and I touch the ground and see how soft or hard it is.
Okay, all right. So the ground here is all quite soft. Like you actually notice the ship has, once it sat down, it's like settled slightly. So it's sort of tilted now. The ground here, you can assume like vines have kind of broken up the soil. There's a lot of like mud, a lot of tripping hazards. Like if you have to run through the jungle, you're gonna have to be real careful.
Okay. Since we can't see anything, I guess I just start, I look at where the tracks went, and can I see that, or is that also?
Yeah, why don't you make a perception check, and you can get a look around. I'm gonna say you're just trying to get a general vibe for the area. It'll be difficulty two, but I'll throw in a disadvantage die because it's hot and like distracting.
Is that black?
Yeah, two purple and a black, and then make a perception. Okay, all right. So take a strain. And I think that's probably from the environment, like starting to wear on you already. Like you can feel like your otherwise like, you know, decently coiffed hair is now like sticking to your forehead, and like your suit is all like, it's not like military gear, so it's kind of like shifting its weight funny. And just the planet is starting to like, the environment is starting to stress you out a little. But you got two successes, so I'll tell you something about the tracks and about the scene generally. So there's no sign any human or other sentient has been in this area in like forever, basically. Like you see no sign of anyone ever having been here in a long time. The place seems secure from a surveillance perspective. There isn't anybody like coming to get you. There's no sign of, you don't hear vehicles moving in the distance, that kind of thing. And the tracks themselves seem to be fairly recent. They are made by something like decently heavy, though the ground here is quite soft. And they're in two sets of three. So the thing has probably six legs. The tracks themselves are kind of like point shaped, like a triangle or V shaped. Oh, they seem to dip at the end, indicating that the creature is moving on sort of like six clawed feet.
I'm gonna wait on the ship.
So yeah, I mean, Cass, you see Gunner like crouch down looking at the tracks.
Okay.
You didn't run in the ship? Because I'm in there. Because if you run it, I'm gonna look at
problems, Sergeant.
Just let me know if things get heated.
Are all the tracks kind of like equally indented?
Yeah.
Okay, and how many feet of the tracks do I see?
You see one set of like full size like heavy creature tracks, and then what might be one or more like smaller ones, like young maybe.
And I mean, do they disappear into the brush? Do they knock the brush like side to side?
It seems like the tracks go back and forth from like across the area you've landed in. So this is an area that this creature goes, it crosses regularly.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to stealth into the foliage and start tracking it.
Are you going to let the rest of the team know that that's the plan?
I guess I say like, how's the repair going? And then I start on my way.
How's the repair going? Doesn't wait for an answer.
Just I'm out.
And see ya.
So you said the tracks, there's the one set of the big, obviously belonging to one big creature, and then smaller ones as well. Are they matching and they're just smaller, or are they different creatures?
No, it's smaller ones. It looks like the like young of this like larger creature, kind of like following it around.
Perfect.
Yep. And Gunnar is heading towards them, not away from them.
It's hard to say. Like this it's not a one directional track. You found probably like a path that it uses to get to and from a place. And Gunnar, I guess, you're just going to pick a random direction and follow it.
Yeah. If they all look like they're equally like depressed in the mud, then I can't really tell like what the most recent one was.
Yeah.
So I'll just randomly pick.
Okay. All right.
So while Gunnar is doing this, I'm trying to figure out like which direction we're supposed to be going.
Okay.
And figuring out where we are.
All right. So you want to orienteer your way around, figure out which direction the city is in, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. So you do have a map, but the pad little, like it's displaying the map and it's like flickering on and off. And you can see that it's like already starting to get like condensation on it. So why don't you make a roll? Let's take a look. See what your skills are here. Survival. Perfect. Okay. So make a survival roll with a difficulty of normally it would be two, but I'm gonna spend a point. I spend a dark side point to buy myself an upgrade for the difficulty. So to do that, just add two purple to your pool.
Okay.
And then add one upgrade on the right-hand side where it says under the black, purple, and...
Just put one?
Yeah, put upgrade one and then click outside of it.
Okay.
And then
survival?
And then roll survival, yeah. Okay, nice. You soundly thrashed the dark side. My buying the extra didn't help. So, yeah. So you... I mean, your machine is failing. How do you deal with it? Like, is this a you like carefully wipe it off, or is it like you bang on it? Like,
I'm very careful with it. I know that if this device for some reason doesn't function, then we are stuck in the middle of nowhere with no idea where to go, with potentially baby beasts that want to eat us. So, yeah, I'm very careful with it. Kind of turning it over my hands, trying to keep the moisture off it, that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we see you carefully like wiping the lens and like getting it to operate, and it finishes tracking you. It was kind of like trying to do the like GPS tracking thing. It figures out where the ship is, and then it zooms out and it shows you, you know, you're here and the city is here, and on foot through the jungle, the system estimates it's like about a 2-day trek on foot from where you are.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. and now that I know what direction we're going, where is Gunner going in regards to that direction?
If you're going like, you know, northeast, Gunner is going like northwest, like kind of off.
Okay. And she's going down the path that's obviously more cleared, less obstructed.
I mean, there's no path. He's just following the footprints. And there's kind of an incidental like direction in that way, but he might not be able to track.
Okay.
If you tell me somewhere to go, I'll like turn around immediately and go that way.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm going to put my comms up and kind of contact every... Now, I'm assuming with the comms, I can talk and everyone will hear me, regardless of where they are in that area, if we're close enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of put the comms up and say,
I've localized our direction. We need to head to the northwest. It's about a 2-day journey. We may want to get started as soon as we can.
How much time left on my repairs? Do I know? Can I tell?
Yeah, let's go make a roll. So what, you just want to get the ship back up and you want to undo what you did?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, make a one difficulty mechanics check.
Oh, and this is the one I'm going to fail.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna use another dark side point because it would be really funny if you failed.
Forgets how to fix what he broke.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, well, I broke it too good. So, yeah. I'll use my dark side point. You put one difficulty and then one upgrade on the bad side.
You got it. Can do. Done. Mechanics. Here it comes. Boop.
Nice. Okay. Good. So not that difficult. You managed to, again, like, and I think you can use some of that advantage to like, let me take a look for mechanics, because you can actually use those two advantages for stuff. You can spend your advantage to, oh, cool. Okay. So keep in mind, make a note somewhere that if you need to make a pilot check, the first pilot check made for this, this vehicle gets an extra, you like boost it, or you fix it, you make it work well. And, now you can get an extra advantage die if someone needs to pilot this quickly or like start it up quickly.
It's awesome because you can just type it right next to the thing. Just put plus one advantage.
Yeah. Perfect. Cool. All right. So yeah, it goes quickly and you managed to do a couple of little upgrades and, yeah, the ship's working better than you think it has in years.
Commander, repairs are done. I'm ready to head out whenever you are.
So this brings up an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Are we able to fly this ship closer to the city? Like, if we took off from here, would we immediately trigger alarms back at the city? Would they?
You would definitely notice. Yeah, the ship is turned off now, so that they think that you're repairing it or whatever, and they'll like you said, they'll probably send out a team to investigate, but they might not send them that quickly. They might just hope you get, you know, eaten by a monster, and they don't have to worry. So if you turn the ship back on, start powering it up, they'll definitely notice, and then yeah, it'll get their attention.
Perhaps we should tell them that the ship is beyond repair, so they don't join us out here.
So I'm going to go to the comms and kind of say,
we have options. We can attempt to fly back, get closer, and avoid the dangers of the Forbidden Zone. Or we can park here and attempt to make the journey on foot. Thoughts?
Not a huge fan of trying to go on foot based off of the tracks that Gunner found.
We can tell them that we tried to fix the problem and we tried to start up the engines, but it failed again. And we weren't able to fix it. So we had to set it down again a few parsecs later.
Both of them work. It works for both now.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, yeah, we can start it up. Fly it a little ways, put it back down, and tell them, oh, shit, we didn't actually fix it. Oops.
Now, when we looked at the map, were we able to ascertain any closer landing areas? Like, is the map detailed enough to where we can...
No, this is, like, pretty much your best bet. Everywhere else is going to be out in the open. It's going to be easy for them to send out a speeder team to come and, like, check for contraband. Yeah, this with the ship down now, and you're kind of off their radar... then you're in a place where you know this is the safest you're going to get with the landing ship.
Oh, now, man. We don't have any sort of like land vehicle capabilities,
like speeders or anything.
If you had a speeder, there'd be no way to get it through this. The jungle's just too thick.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Then how would they get to us?
They'd have to set a team on foot.
Yeah.
Oh, but they could get close to us with speeders.
Not really. Like the jungle is like pretty close to the edge of the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they just have to send a team.
He said, like, the guy originally was like, oh, we'll send someone to save you. But his supervisor was probably like, they're dead. Just forget about them.
They're gone already.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like we have...
Actually, that would make for a really good scene. Like, as you're talking, you're like, but are they going to send a team to find us? We just, like, wipe over to, like, the guy looking kind of nervous. And he's like, but sir, they could still be alive out there. And this Imperial officer is like, no, forget about them. And he's like, but sir, they're... And he's like, I said, forget about them. And he like points at his chair, and the guy like puts his little headset on and he shakes his head. And, like, looks out of the jungle like, good luck, buddy. Like, looks all nervous. Yeah. I'm so sorry. And there's like out his window, there's still like the contrail of where the ship like landed off in the distance. Awesome. Okay. So what's the plan?
I'm still on comms. Yeah, I'm still on range.
So okay. you wanna head out and try to look for this thing?
Well, I thought I was maybe gonna go because do the tracks also go in that direction?
Yeah, the tracks kind of cut across. Here, I will use this thing we have, this map thing that I can draw. I can draw on with my keyboard and mouse here. Okay, so if you landed there. Assume everything is jungle. If y'all landed there, the tracks cut across here. They cut across this way. And the city, the capital city, is that direction.
So
it's northeast.
There's jungle there and here and over here. And over here.
Oh, no,
here.
I lost the arrow. No, Adam.
Yeah.
So jungle. Following the tracks would not take us in the direction that we're trying to go.
No.
Okay. Okay. So I'd stay on comms, Commander. Will our contacts still be ready to receive us in 2 days?
Yeah. You definitely have time. It's one of those things whereby the magic of Star Wars, whenever you arrive, is the time that you needed to arrive.
Okay.
Cool.
But she doesn't know where we.
But, 12 parsecs, womp rats. Forget about it.
yeah, of course.
So I guess at this point, Talra is kind of waiting to see what Gunner does. If Gunner just, he is clearly kind of moving a direction. He is fascinated with these tracks. If he continues to go, then at that point, Talra is just going to kind of look at Kes and Z3 and kind of nod and start following where Gunner's going. I'm kind of waiting to see what Gunner does before I do anything.
Pretty sure you told me. No, actually you didn't tell me. Like, you didn't give me a command.
I've not given any commands at this point.
So are there, because you added in more brown, was that more jungle or is that more tracks?
I mean, it's just jungle. It's all jungle of varying colors.
The brown is a path.
Don't read too much into it. It just jungle. Scribbles.
It's jungle. It's all jungle. Trap is to scale. Each one of those lines represents something specific. No, there's jungle everywhere. There's a path cutting alongside where you were. The city is somewhere in that direction through the jungle.
Because, like, I mean, I guess this creature could flank us. But by going past its tracks, like, we would see if there were any more. So I could, like, big game hunt on the way. But
because the tracks are going the complete opposite direction of where we need to go.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That, like, so it doesn't, like, it's not like we're going to run into it. Like, okay. With the knowledge that we have currently of where it's gone or where it's going.
Well,
it could flank us from behind.
And also, to be fair, if we're in a dense jungle, we can only see so much both ways. I mean, it could just loop right towards the city on either path. Like, we can only see.
Also, keep in mind, too, that this is not the only terrifying monster that lives in this jungle.
Yeah, exactly.
This happens to be evidence of one of them.
Yeah, but as I was saying, I don't think that. Like, I don't think it's, like, important to track it, you know, and, like, maybe to get it while it's sleeping, because we only know that it goes, like, back and forth here, and we're immediately going away from that point.
Yeah.
So I'll just start. I mean, I kind of, like, look at the tracks, and I'm honestly not even really that interested in the tracks. I was just trying to do my duty. And so I immediately just start going towards the city instead.
Yeah, so you grab your packs and head off in that direction? Okay.
At that point, I pick up mine, kind of nod to everyone, and we start walking behind Gunner towards the city.
All
after
right.
Securely locking up the ship.
yeah.
So if we have packs, can I like put my armor on one of them?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, I assumed you were wearing your armor, and then with your like poncho and like disguise over top.
Sure.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with like your disguise is just being like, I'm not gonna encumber you with a disguise. That's silly.
Okay. Those baggy pants though.
Yeah. Yeah. Hammer pants are very popular.
I have my comm scanner.
Okay.
And I'm just keeping it in front, like in the direction we're going. I'm just, you know, periodically scanning for any voice comms. I can't do like bioscience, but I can do voice comms. So if there's anybody talking back and forth in the range of my thing, I'll pick it up.
Okay. So today, what you're really looking for is you're not aiming for, I'm going to get you to make a survival roll. You're not aiming to end up in the city because that's impossible, but you want to find somewhere, like when are you going to stop? Like at night? Are you going to go through the jungle all night, or how far do you want to go today?
We probably want to travel as much as we can. We want to get to this place as quickly as we can. So going through the night would probably put us at a disadvantage. I'm thinking we'd probably at this point want to get to an open area we could set up camp.
Yeah.
It's a 2-day journey, right? We'd have to stay at least one night. Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. All right. So who's leading this expedition? We need somebody to make a survival roll.
Not me.
Yeah. Got the highest survival or who has
highest cunning.
Yeah, highest cunning, which is attached to it.
Where is cunning? Oh. I've just got 2 green, so I don't know.
Yeah, I only have 2 greens in survival.
So anyone can roll, really. Right.
Talra has the highest cunning. Okay. Of course, you get help because you're all working together. So we'll get the little like travel montage. There are scenes of you like stopping, maybe like Talra. Does anybody have macro binoculars?
No.
Okay, so I think you're like stopping and like trying to get a good viewpoint. Maybe there's a scene of you like getting turned around and like debating which way to go. Who's gonna be the one helping Talra on this role?
Sure, I will.
You want to do it? Okay, so the two of you are kind of like leading the exhibition. So let's see what the difficulty should be on this one. Survival to let's see, to find your way to track. It's going to be difficulty 3, I think. 3 purple dice, and Talra, you'll have your boost die from
Kessa. So 1 blue, 3 purple?
Yes, 1 blue, 3 purple, please.
All right.
And then I'm also rolling with 3 purple?
No, you don't have to roll, Kessa. You're assisting. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, rolling now.
Okay.
Boom.
Nice. Awesome. Okay. So it's not an easy journey, but you make great headway today. And we see you, I guess what we see is like, we see you pass out into the jungle and the camera kind of pulls back and we lose you. You get to be smaller and smaller amidst all the fronds and strange vegetation. We get a scene, before we see you like setting up camp, we get a scene of the ship of the leatherback sitting kind of like, it's got some like vines hanging over it and it's sitting out in the thing. And we hear a kind of like high pitched like animal noise, like somewhere between like a lizard and a bird. And then we see the jungle kind of like shifting. And from the side of the leatherback, we see a big like clawed arm, sort of insectile arm, like come up. And something, this creature, like climbs up on top of the leatherback. The thing's about the size of like a Volkswagen van, maybe a little bigger. And that's its body. It's a kind of tan, like a dark tan color. It has 6 long segmented arms that end in sharp points in claws. And its head is kind of lizard-like, but with like 2 sets of sharp, flat, kind of like needle teeth up front and a big fringe, a big like bone fringe. It looks sort of dinosaur-like.
Ghostface.
Jesus.
It's an Akle, if people want to look it up. It's the monster from the second movie they fight in the pit. It's a big lizard creature. Anyway, so it like climbs up on top of the ship and kind of like looks around at it and then like pokes the cockpit a couple of times and like breaks the glass and starts like chewing on the cockpit before it gets like frustrated and makes like a loud kind of like angry noise. And we see a bunch more smaller ones that are like, you know, like horse-sized. There's like 3 or 4 of them. They come out from underneath and they start making noise too. They're making like hungry noises and like looking up at their mom. And she looks up and we get a close-up of her face and her like nostrils flare. She's like sniffing the air. And then she turns her head towards the way you went off into the jungle and jumps down off the leatherback and moves out into the jungle. And her little, like, fledglings are in tow. They follow after her.
Great.
Well, that's terrible.
Good thing we fixed the ship.
Yeah, she just put a crack in it. It's fine. You got backup glass. So we it fades. We get the diagonal wipe, and we see the top of like a huge sort of toadstool shaped like mushroom. And I think like I guess because you were leading the way, Tara and Kes, you're up on top of it. And you're pulling, one of you is pulling a rope with like a bag attached, and you're like getting all your gear up on top of this mushroom where you're going to make camp for the night. And from up here, it's actually like the air is a little bit less humid. We can see like, you know, night is falling. And so it's actually kind of pretty. Like there's these like glowing purple sort of giant flowers out, and you can see off in the distance the city. And there's like giant fireflies that are starting to come out out of these and feed on the flowers. So they're kind of like drifting around. The music is maybe after that last scene a little like unsettlingly like pastoral and quiet. We get like a little bit of like gentle violin as the sun is setting over Felucia. So you're all getting set up on your camp here. What do you do to set up camp overnight? Securing the perimeter, that kind of thing. Like what are the tasks that everybody does before?
I'm going to check on Zed and see, ask him, how are your joints looking after all this humidity?
I was going to actually just ask that.
I think let's find out.
Like,
yeah.
Like a little oil can. I feel like that's like the Wizard of Oz.
I was going to say you're off to see the wizard. Yeah,
Tin Man.
Oil can.
Why don't you just make a difficulty one? Let's see, what's an appropriate skill? I guess athletics, maybe.
Resilience.
Oh, resilience for sure. Yeah, yeah, totally. Make a difficulty one resilience check for me.
Great. Okay. Difficulty one, resilience check. Here it comes.
Nice. Yeah, you're good. You're doing great. Perfect. Yeah, you don't fail, which is all that matters. And yeah, you're feeling fine. You get a quick system diagnostic. Your systems are not built for like extended humidity. So as long as you get to the city in an okay amount of time, then you're okay.
Sergeant, I am in adequate condition, but prolonged exposure to the elements may become problematic.
It's okay. We should be there tomorrow, buddy. Commander, is there anything that you need me to do before we set up camp for the night?
No, I think we're ready. We'll just need to assign guard duty and then call it for the evening.
Is Gunner here with us? Is he like at the same?
I'm stealthing around.
That's a thing. That's a thing. That's a thing that occurs to Kes. Like, hey, wait, where's Gunner? Where is Gunner?
Like right above her.
She's just standing like right, or he's standing right behind me, and it's just like I'm right here.
Poncho flapping, yeah. Poncho flapping dramatically in the hot breeze.
Cool. So I guess we're good to camp out.
Yeah, I'm just gonna keep watch
to do any kind of like check of the environment or anything before we. I mean, I can stay up. I've got what's my skill that allows me to stay awake for longer.
Yeah, I have that too. So we could.
Yeah, you guys can all sleep. I'll watch out. I don't need. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You don't.
All right, you don't need to sleep at all. Cool. Okay. Just put the droid on 24-hour watch duty.
Yeah, his little head just spinning around.
Just like a soft little beep.
And then turn around.
Like radar.
Okay. All right. Well, in continuing with the tradition of this apparently being a game of Dungeons & Dragons, why don't you make a perception check to keep watch if you notice anything at night.
Do I have to put any difficulty or anything?
Yes. Jungle, nighttime. Do you have like night vision or anything? You have night vision goggles built in? Oh, okay. All right. So difficulty three. Difficulty three for sure.
Okay. Perception. Here it comes. Come on. Big money.
All right. So staying up all night in essentially like alert mode it's not good for your cognition sensors, right? Like if you could, it's the equivalent of you feeling stressed, right? You're running all these protocols, these surveillance protocols all at once. So when the night finishes, you know, your system needs a little bit of a break. You take one strain. But you're successful at keeping watch. There's lots and lots of things, like you'll wake up multiple times through the night because there's weird noises or something down below, like brushes past the stalk of the mushroom and like shakes it a little bit. But better up here than down there. You pass the night uneventfully. You don't see anything approaching necessarily, but
is there a chance we could have, like, because if I had also stayed up using resilience, like, could I have gotten any more information?
Yeah, I mean, you would have been able to add a blue die to Zeke's roll. Do you want to have stayed up for at least part of the night and helped?
How does resilience work? Like, that's how much less strain I would take.
You don't have to make a resilience test to just like hang out for some of the night, but if you want to go without sleep, yeah, I'd make you make a test and then you'll take strain otherwise.
Are we gonna sleep another night?
You'll arrive, if you make as good progress as you did today, you'll arrive in the capital after I don't know, probably like most of the day, like before night falls, you wouldn't need to sleep again.
I'll save it for like a stay in the city.
Okay. All right, cool. So you rest and the sun comes up and with it, the punishing heat of the jungle and the jungle awakens with all kinds of new and exciting, strange smells and sounds. You're ready to press on. Yeah, you want to continue? Okay.
Cool. All right. Onward. Yep.
Okay.
Onward and upward.
So we'll get one more survival roll from you to see if you get lost or turned around or anything bad happens.
Alrighty, what are my dice?
So you're making a survival, basically make the same test as before. Three difficulty, one blue, because you're doing it as a team and you're three green. But I'm gonna spend a dark side point.
All right, time for my first bad roll. You guys ready?
Okay, so make sure you put an upgrade in the GM dice side.
Upgrade on the right side.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Cool. So it should be two. It'll be two purples and red. Okay.
Aw.
So a valiant effort. No critical fail though. So you're gonna be mostly okay. But I think that in this case, none of your equipment gets damaged. You know, you don't lose anybody, but it's very slow going today. I think that you, after the morning passes and the real like heat of the sun starts to pound down on the jungle, you reach a crevasse basically where the ground drops out and you have to like slowly make your way down to the bottom and then up, because getting around would take like triple the amount of time it would take. And I think when you get down partway down the hill, so you're on this like fairly steep incline, you're not like climbing down, but as you're all moving down the hill, you hear across through the ravine, you hear someone shouting. You hear like, "Hey, hey," from across the ravine.
Can I shoot him from here?
Fucking prop.
Murder hobo!
So what? Yes. We only hear something. We don't see anything.
Yeah. I mean, you look and there's like, you know, foliage and stuff. And I think maybe if you look, we get kind of the like quick pan across and we see, there's a guy, you can't tell what species he is, 'cause he's wearing like big thick goggles and his like head is like wrapped and he's like waving his arms, like panicky and being, and like shouting at you like, "Hey, hey," and like pointing.
Can I scan his comms from here?
Yeah. If you want to stop and scan the comm, you can. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to make a roll. You can just check your comm scanner.
Yep.
You pick up, aside from your own comms, there's one nearby, like one comm unit. It's not transmitting right now, but it's connected to a larger comm network. It's probably his, but he's not using it. You do get the code for it though, so you could get on comms with him if you want to.
Okay.
Commander, what's our approach?
So do I know everything you just said about Z3?
Yeah, I'll inform you.
Commander, he has a comms on him, and I can crack into it if you'd like.
So I'm going to do kind of the get down motion. Kind of
everyone get down. Be careful.
Okay.
Z3, contact him and see what he needs.
And so the guy, he stopped waving now, and he's got his like macro binoculars up, and he's like looking at you. And
we're still in pretty heavy brush, right?
Yeah. Okay, you can just kind of see him through the foliage. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to try to like lower my hand to the brush line. So hopefully, even if he's like staring at us, like we are undercover from his perspective.
Sure. Yeah. You kind of like disappear.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay.
I think we had camo Hawaiian shirts.
That's right. Okay, so you all crouch down, and then Z3, you get on his comms.
What should I tell him, Commander?
Inquire about his reasoning for flagging us.
Affirmative.
Okay, so you get on your comm. What do you say?
Yep, open up the comm link.
Okay, so anyone who's watching him, you see him, like he kind of looks startled. Like we don't hear anything because he's so far away, but like he takes his comm link down, and he like looks around and like pulls out his, he's got a little comm pan, and he like holds it up. Mm-hmm. And puts it to his ear. What are you telling him?
We see you.
Yeah. So he pulls the calm down, and we hear his voice. We get your reaction shots. He's like, "Good. I wanted you to see me. Look up the hill. You're in grave danger."
Oh, and they can all hear me. Like
they hear it come. They hear it coming out of. Yeah, they hear it coming out of your little speaker.
Perfect. I look.
Yeah, okay. So you all look, and we pan quickly up to the edge of the cliff that you're starting to scale down, and we see the same, like, the little claws, like, and the thing, like, brings its head up, and we just see these, like, horrifying sharp teeth, like, emerge, and it, like, just stares right down at you, and then makes a loud, like, hunting shriek. And we see the dude who is like watching, he like puts his macro binoculars down and just runs away. Like, he just takes off up the hill on the other side.
And I
he shouts into his comm. He's like, "Good luck."
I quickly look at the sergeant.
This is quite undesirable.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. So, the Aklay is at it's at long range from you. It's just like come up to the top of this hill. I'll take y'all back over to the range band.
So we're still at the bottom of this ravine.
You're partway down and down the ravine. So if the ravine itself, I'll just draw it real quick. If the ravine goes like kind of like that.
Oh, I never noticed this thing sneak up on us.
No, you did not notice it sneaking through the jungle towards you.
We're still pretty far from us too, right?
It's pretty far. Y'all are like down there on the ravine. You're climbing down, and then it's obviously up here. And then the whole area, you know, is like full of trees, right? So you'll have to like make your way down and then go up the other side. And that is if it decides to like rush down the hill after you.
Can I do a xenology like check to see if there's a good way to either avoid, escape, or scare it off?
Yeah, totally. Okay. So let me get one of these guys here. Okay, so there's the Aklay. We'll put it in the middle. Y'all are at long range from it, and it's there. Let's roll initiative, because then on your turn you can make a xenology roll.
JP, turn on the goddamn map.
So
I think he's busy dealing with a wasp right now.
I know, but I bet he can still hear us.
That shriek of the Aklay, I think that's the sound he made when he lifted the plate up.
Okay. All right. So y'all are there. And the Aklay emerges from the brush. So let me make a NPC for the Aklay here.
Can we not get away from it?
You can try. You can try and run. Yeah. Initiative just means we're going to be checking out like when things are happening in specific order. It doesn't mean that you're stuck fighting in. Okay. So this thing.
How dense are the trees?
Very.
Okay. Because those things are huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be able to like climb up the side of trees and like jump and stuff. Like this is it's a terrain it's adapted to, but you are smaller and you'll be able to duck in between the two, kind of even things out. they're amphibious, so they're not like really like, yeah, all about the running and jumping so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So let's see. It's got, it's just its agility for initiative. Okay. All right. So everybody can roll. I think you're being surprised. So this is vigilance for initiative. So it's under combat on your under combat on your sheet. Yeah.
All we do is click next to vigilance.
Yeah.
Oh.
Make sure you clear your pool first. If you have stuff left in your pool, take that out. So reroll those, both of y'all.
Oh, just vigilance?
No, you don't have to roll. There's a specific initiative roll. It's under combat. There's a little checkbox where you show initiative. Yeah, so you can do it there.
Okay. Oh, I didn't upgrade. Whoops, my bad.
Okay.
Should I roll one more time, Adam?
Yes. Yeah, please. Okay, and it's going to roll cool for its initiative, which is not great. Okay. All right. There are a lot. Actually, here, let me just reset it. We'll all roll again because it filled the order with all the bad ones. Okay. Everybody reroll initiative. Go. There we go. I got mine.
Again?
Yeah, just roll it again because the turn order had all the good and bad rolls in it.
Yeah.
So I just need, one from everybody. Nice. Okay. Perfect. So two of you will get to go. Then the Acolyte will start closing the distance or doing whatever it's going to do. And then two more of you get to go. So who's the first person to act? And what do you do? Like, as soon as you spot this mantis dinosaur thing, like, come up over the...
I wanted to do the check, the Xeno check, to see the best way, if I know the best way to scare it off or evade it or something.
That should probably be first.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So knowledge is xenology. That is difficulty. Let's see. You're looking for a particular way to injure a creature or a particular vulnerability from Acklay. They're not super common.
Do we want to use a light side die with that, Zeke?
Let's call it difficulty 3.
Okay.
Sounds
good. Also, does anyone object to me using a light side for this?
Nope. Please do.
It's our only one, right? Or did Adam use one?
I think we have three.
There's three light, one dark.
Yeah. You used one, Adam?
Yep. Yeah, I've used a few.
All right. And so I put an upgrade on my side.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Xenology. Do it.
Okay. So the very fact, this knowledge, you got a disadvantage, you take a strain. Okay. And I think that that's just because realizing like what you're up against stresses you out.
Well, yeah.
So you take a strain instead of running. You're like, yes. What do I know about these things? You got one success. So an Acklay, they're not the first bit of trivia that occurs to you is like, oh, that's unusual. Because the Acklay, that's what this creature is. The Acklay, they're not native to Felucia. They're from Vindaxa. So that's kind of interesting.
Somebody's pet or somebody.
It's immigrated here for some reason. This happens sometimes when like it was someone's pet. They're often seen in they're kind of the kinds of monsters that people fight in gladiatorial pits. Many like hut crime lords like have a couple of these to feed people to.
Sure.
So it might have been brought here and then, you know, let free. I think the thing they tire quickly. That's their vulnerability, right? They have incredibly high metabolisms. They're very fast and very dangerous, but they tire out fast. They're not they don't have a lot of staying power. So if you're gonna look for a weakness, that'd be it.
I guess I'm just wondering if it'll say something like, they want to eat meat, but not eat droids per se.
I mean, so yes.
I'm wondering if I could act as like a distraction while the other guys get away, and it won't like just destroy, just chomp the shit out of me.
They're only semi sentient or semi sapient, so it would probably knock you down and tear you apart and eat your guts, and then be like, "Ugh, this isn't food," and then move okay. on. Never mind. If you wanted to let it tear you apart, cool, you could do that. But
with what Zeke has found out, is there any association with this Acklay and the harsher environment we're in? Like the fact that it's more moist or there's more stuff to move over?
They're amphibious in nature, so it probably likes the fact that it's super moist. Don't try to swim away from it or hide underwater. Don't do those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could like slip away through the trees though. That's what I was asking about, how dense the trees were, because they're pretty big. Mm-hmm. So if we could fit through the trees where it can't go, maybe we can escape up the hill on the other side. But how far, do we know how far we are from the main town?
Still pretty far. Like you couldn't just like run through you could just zone out and have it stop chasing you.
Where's the closest zone?
Because it said that we made good time like the first day. So I wasn't sure if we, because you said it was a 2 day travel and I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're like one and a quarter days worth of traveling. So there's still like most of today. You wouldn't be able to outrun it to the city. It's faster than you, but if you can run and hide and like whatever, it'll eventually get tired and look for easier prey.
Right.
Did Zad find out information about its skin, like its hide, penetrableness?
They're like crustaceans, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of. They're like weird like
crabs,
fish crab, crab lizard things. Yeah, they have shells. It's got a shell.
So if you shot it in the neck.
Yeah, I mean, you'd want to go for the underbelly, but it's got dense hide everywhere.
Okay.
So could we use perception to try to locate an area that we could either A, run through to tire it out, or B, potentially give us a little more protection? Like Kes was saying, an area that maybe had, you know, trees in a close enough proximity to where we could get behind them and the Acklay couldn't just charge us kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you can do that on someone else's turn. So someone else has an action now. So who wants to go?
I can take a look unless you guys have something else you want to do, in which case feel free.
What would we be rolling for on this?
It would depend on what you want. So if you're like looking for somewhere to hide, it would just be a perception test.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Is this thing leaking coolant? Can I convince it to blow up?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Now, if let's say I did do a perception check and we found an area, would the Acklay then it would be the Acklay's turn. So would it then be able to charge and attack us before we could do anything?
Maybe, depending on how fast the creature is and who it goes after, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It would be like on your team, on your turn, you'd be like, we can hide there. Look, go like hide under that log. Then it goes. Then the other two run for the log. Right.
I don't know. I'm down. I mean, we could try fighting it. I'm just nervous about it, but I don't know if we can like run. I mean, it's faster than us, but it's kind of one or the other, I guess. So whatever you guys want to do.
Gunner, what are you thinking?
I have expert coordination.
That's good. It's a good start. It's
yeah.
A good place to begin. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't also hear that. I
coordinate the hell out of that Acklay.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that I could like, maybe I could lead it down another path or off a cliff or something.
Yeah, I mean, if someone wants to be a decoy, basically whoever, one person can go that. You don't have a lot of time to like debate it. So who's going to go and what are you going to do?
If you want to give it a try, Gunner, go ahead.
Okay, there is a mission scenario that I have tested before and trained for. So is there anything around us right now that I could try and lead it off of?
I think y'all have destiny points. So if you just spend one, you can tell me there's a thing nearby that you can use, right? Otherwise, it'll be luck, right? You'll have to go look for it.
So, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily chase me into a cliff, but I could, like, jump. If there was, like a really narrow bridge, I could, like, very quickly run across it.
Right. So you want to have, like, a fallen log that cuts across the bottom of the ravine, and you want to run up onto it so it chases you and falls down? Is that what your plan is?
Yeah.
Something like that? Okay. Because yeah, you can for the log, you can just spend the destiny point and say, yeah, it's totally there, and then you can make a roll to lure it.
Just real quick, I gotta know, this thing's way too big for me to force push, right?
Yes, yeah. It's got a small vehicle silhouette. So
not even a small vehicle; they're like big, like a bus.
yeah, like 10 meters or 3 meters tall. So
all right.
Okay, so I'm going to stealth closer to the creature and attempt to flank it and surprise it so that it will follow me. And then I'll try and lose it while you guys go towards the city.
Okay. All right. So you want to like get into stealth and start moving around to like get its attention somewhere else. So it'll take you two turns, obviously, to do this, right? One to hide and move that way, and then another to get its attention.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So let's have you roll. We'll have you roll your stealth.
Is it hard to go, once you emerge somewhere, is it difficult to go back into stealth?
Depends on the circumstances. Like if it's looking straight at you, it's going to be harder to, it's going to be harder to go into stealth, but if it's distracted, it'll be easier.
Okay.
Okay, so the difficulty, you've got I'll give you a boost die because you're in the jungle, right? And its perception is not super great. We'll say difficulty one. Yeah, just difficulty one. You get a boost die from the jungle.
Is that the blue one?
Yeah, on top of whatever your normal boost dice that are built into your stealth because you've got some already. All right, yes, you are very stealthy. So it doesn't see you sneak away. So that's one of your actions to go into stealth. And then you want to move, you want to start moving towards it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So from long range to medium range, it takes two actions. So you're kind of halfway between medium and long as this action. If you want to spend a strain, you can get into medium range and far enough away from your team. Or you can wait and do it on your next turn.
Because it's so far away from the team right now, if the creature keeps going towards them, I think that's fine. Like, I think that actually better for us because then it would have to turn around even more to get back to me.
Okay. All right. So you're in the midst of moving, which means you have to finish your move on the next turn and end up in medium. And then you'll have an action to take after that.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
So just real quick before we do this, is the thinking, Gunner, that you're going to lead the beast away from us, incapacitate it, and then link back up with us later and we run? And don't engage it at all.
Plan, Commander.
Okay.
She's gonna 1v1 this thing with her sword. Yeah.
Doesn't sound good.
We wipe two later when the Accolade attacks you and it has bits of Gunner in its teeth. Gunner is good at hiding though. So
and that nice blaster rifle I gave him.
Yeah, just hanging from a strap off one of its teeth. Okay. So the Accolade, yeah, it doesn't. You all panic a little bit, and Z3 starts to like spout all this information about the Accolade. Gunner disappears into the brush, and then the thing comes up to the edge of the cliff, raises its two front arms in a sort of threat display, like a praying mantis, kind of waves them and like roars at you to try and scare you. And then its other four legs start moving, and it starts to like jog down the cliff towards you. And I feel like this is probably a good place to take a break as this thing is like rushing, bearing down on you, music all swelling.
Yep.
And
also cool. Just so I don't forget during the break when we come back.
If the creature gets too close to us, I suggest we target the young.
Do we have that on the map?
Yeah, they're going to stay. I'll make another copy. They're going to be basically minions, like a little cloud of them. They're going to be up here, and I'll put labels and everything during the break.
Cool.
Okay. So when we get back, there'll be more of the dangerous monster in the fungus forest. Don't say that guy didn't try to warn you. When we get back, more balance of power. So stick around. See you in a bit.